Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
To the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. You know, we're the station where you can listen to a variety of talk shows that cover sports, psychology, social issues, history, relationships, children, finance, and, well, every aspect of life, even the entertainment side, which yours truly, Deirdre Shuler, and that's me, will be bringing you during this show. And I want you to close your eyes and fix your mind on a more innocent era when folks truly dated. You were young and in love, and there was actually too many fish in the sea. And some of you may remember those songs, and songs like Tease Mr. Postman and Don't Mess with Bill. If you do, then you remember those were songs made famous starting in the 1960s by a girl group named the Marvelettes. Well, many groups will have longevity, and the members change over the years. And I have invited the lead of the current trio of the Marvelettes, Paula Anderson, to chat with us about what the Marvelettes have been up to and about their opening for Dennis Edwards and the Temptations Review on Saturday, April 9th at Lehman Center for the Performing Arts, which is located at 250 Bedford Park Boulevard West in the Bronx. Well, without further ado, let's welcome Paula Anderson of the Marvelettes. So how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Oh, thank you. And as I mentioned, the Marvelettes have a long history. And it started off with lead singer Gladys Horton, Wanda Rogers, Georgiana Tillman, Georgia Dobson, Katherine Anderson, and Wynetta Coward. Well, I believe that's who were back in the 1960s. Is there anyone I left out?
No, those were the four original members. Actually, Gladys and Georgia, they are the two that actually put the group together and brought in the other girls. So they started right in high school, very young.
Wow. And I guess they, were they always into music, or did they have musical backgrounds in their families?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I do know that some of the members were definitely involved in church. As a matter of fact, Georgia Dobson, I believe her father was a minister, and that's one of the reasons why she did not continue with the group, because it was conflict where her, you know, father was concerned. So she didn't continue with the group. But a love for music, most definitely. The whole thing of being in Detroit, being around that house that everyone wanted to be their home, everyone thought they wanted to be in music. So it was a wonderful thing.
Well, were these ladies actually from Detroit originally, or are they Southern ladies?
Oh, no, they're all from Detroit, and they all met in high school, and, you know, they went to high school together in Eastern Michigan. So it all started there.
Oh, okay. Well, how did you yourself become part of the Marvelettes?
Wow. I actually started with them back in 2000, where I had been contacted by some friends of mine who had found out that they were actually auditioning some people to try to replace a couple of girls. And I went through the whole auditioning process, and I can recall going in there thinking I knew it all and I really wanted this, and I was like floored once I got there, because it was just like, I don't know what it was that came over me, just to feel like, wow, this is Motown. To be able to become a part of something like that would just be wonderful. So I did all I had to do, and I had to come back a couple of times, and I finally got through the door, and it's just been wonderful ever since. And I went to the audition. I had to do several of them, because it was definitely a process. They're very particular about who was carrying on the name, which I love the fact that in doing the whole Marvelettes, we make sure that we keep the integrity of the music together. And after doing those auditions, I was able to get started, and there was another lead singer at the time, and I worked beside her, which was wonderful. I learned so much working with her. And eventually I was able to step up when she stepped down, and I'm doing this now since 2000, and it's just been great.
Wow, 11 years.
Yeah, 11 years.
Doesn't that seem a long time?
It does feel like a long time, but it's such an honor to be a part of a Motown group, because Motown to me really, really shaped music in such a big way. And I don't know that there's anyone I could ever speak to that couldn't say that they just love Motown. I mean, Motown is just loved universally, and that's just a wonderful thing.
Well, the Marvelettes are history makers, because aren't you the first girl group that came into Motown?
Well, yes. And they pretty much set the stage for Motown. The Marvelettes did that with their hit, Please Mr. Postman.
Exactly. I mean, you were there before the Supremes and Martha and the Vandellas. Weren't you also, did you set the standard, or the Marvelettes set the standards for all the gal groups that followed afterwards?
Yes. Yes, and when you do reading, and you'll see where they say that it pretty much did. The Marvelettes set the tone for Martha Reeves and the Vandellas and the Supremes.
Yes, the very first group that auditioned for Berry Gordy, first girl group.
Absolutely.
Did they also work with Smokey? Because Smokey was quite a prolific songwriter as well as entertainer.
Oh, yes. Smokey actually is responsible for some of Marvelettes' hits. Smokey Robinson wrote Don't Mess With Bill, The Hunter Captured by the Game. So, it was, you know, again, with Motown, it was all about being a family. And they did have other artists from, you know, the label that would work with other artists. Marvin Gaye also worked with the Marvelettes. He played drums. I don't know, a lot of people don't know that about Marvin Gaye, but he also played drums. So it was just a wonderful thing to have such a talented family that you can cross those lines and be a part of each other's projects.
Well, Marvin Gaye, what song was that that he worked with them on? Do you recall? Because I did read he played drums on one of the songs, but
yeah,
I don't recall.
He sure did. Yeah, I'm not really sure which song it was exactly, but he definitely did play drums for the Marvelettes.
Well, you know, I played Too Many Fish in the Sea at the top of the show, and now I want to play another one of your songs. And when I come back, I want to ask you, who are the other current singers that are part of the trio? Which is, the trio it continues, right? The
yes.
Marvelettes are constantly working. So I'm going to play the hit. And that
okay.
was Mr. Postman, correct?
That's it.
For the performing arts.
Yes, you will. We're looking forward to performing and opening for Dennis Edwards. It's been a minute since we've been on the road with him, so it'll be a lot of fun to see him once again.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you, too. That have you worked with him in the past?
Yes, we have. With Dennis. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to ask you if you're presently on tour.
Well, presently right now we are working nightly in Las Vegas at the Rio, at the Crown Theater.
Oh, cool.
So that, yeah, it is actually cool. And, you know, just like I said, just to be able to do it every night, it's great. So we are constantly doing that on top of, yes, going out and doing work on the road. And it's just a lot of fun.
Well, I often ask this question because people have various answers to it, but basically when you have a family, is that difficult touring or do you take your family with you?
Well, it tends to be difficult. I'm fortunate in the fact that my husband also is in the business, so he totally understands. And, you know, it makes it so wonderful coming back home, though, sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And then I just love that I have such an opportunity to be able to travel abroad and go so many different places, because I feel as if I wasn't doing this, I probably wouldn't have gotten to those places otherwise. So it's really wonderful to travel as we do.
Well, have you gone out of the country as well?
Oh, yes, we've traveled out of the country. And it's been very interesting. We've gone to Austria. We've been into Canada. We've gone to Mexico just recently. And, you know, we've done Europe. So we've had a lot of fun out there.
How was it in Mexico?
Mexico,
because you sing in English,
wonderful.
Right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, basically we performed at a resort. So you have mostly Americans there. So it was
okay,
a wonderful
vacationers.
Thing. Yeah, we weren't pretty much, yeah, we didn't really perform for the locals. But we go to resorts that will hire us, and we got to perform, and it was a wonderful thing.
Well, who are the other ladies that travel with you are part of the Marvelettes?
The other ladies involved is Farah Melanson, and she's been with the group about 8 years. And we also have Miss Tanja Foster, who's been with the group also about 8 years.
Well, that's the other thing, that when you're traveling with people so closely, you have to get along. You have to have a nice personality where you're not fighting each other. And obviously, if you've lasted 8 years and 11 years, you're friends.
Well, yes. I mean, you know what? That's my family away from my family. Because when you're out there on the road, we look out for each other. And it doesn't mean we don't bump heads sometimes, you know, because that's just how it is. But
yeah,
basically,
exactly.
It's a wonderful rapport that we have. And we get out there and we do our job and we have fun at the same time.
Are you also from Detroit and the other ladies as well, or from other parts of the country?
We're from other parts. I'm from New York. As well
okay.
as Tanja, she's from New York, and Farah's from California.
Now, are you from the Bronx? Because you'll be performing at Lehman Center in the Bronx.
Well, no, I'm from Queens.
Oh, okay.
But very familiar, yes.
A shout out
I'm
to Queens.
Very familiar, absolutely. I was born and raised there, so... I'm looking forward to it. It's like coming home and doing a show, which is really great, you know?
Exactly. Well, you'll find the Bronx audience is very enthusiastic. Now, you know, music has changed so much since the era of the Supremes and the Four Tops and Miracles and Martha and the Vandellas, and even the music of the group that you sing in, the Marvelettes. Yet, you know, people still long for the pop music of that era. Because there was an innocence, don't you agree? That's
absolutely.
Not there so much now.
Yes, that is so true. I mean, when you heard the music, you could live it in the moment. And even hearing it up until today, you can always go back and recall those moments, that time. And it does. To me, it just makes me have a desire to have that once again, which makes me happy that we're still out here performing this music, and there's actually a big demand for it. And it's always wonderful to see the young people that show up at the concerts, and some of them know all the words. And I'm always like, wow, when I see that they're into it that way, because they're listening and having fun with their parents and their grandparents. So it's really great.
Well, you know, they probably grew up hearing their parents and grandparents playing it, so it's like their music too.
Absolutely.
And I want to say that I read that during the original singers, during their 8 years run as original singers, they were on the Billboard music charts, and the group scored about 21 hot R&B hip-hop songs and 23 Billboard Hot 100 hit singles. And
right.
They also hit 3 were their top 10 pop singles, and 9 were top 10 R&B singles, and their debut song, which we played, Mr. Postman, was number one on both charts. That's pretty good for a first-time female group at Motown.
Absolutely. It's wonderful.
Indeed, and I'm sure after Gordy saw that, he said, hey, bring on the ladies.
I'm sure he did, and that's exactly what he did.
Exactly. Now, there's a song called Beechwood 45789. Can you tell me the history of that one?
With Beechwood 45789. Well, that was one of their big hits also that was performed by the Marvelettes. We always get requests for that particular song when we're singing it. It came out in 1962. And it hit the pop charts and the R&B charts in the U.S. So it was a big hit for the Marvelettes in that year, kind of like was some of the follow-up songs that came after Mr. Postman.
And Mr. Postman, that being your biggest hit, what was the history behind that?
Well, actually, the song was brought in by a writer who didn't have it all written out, and I believe he allowed Georgia to write some of the lyrics. She wanted to write some of the lyrics for it, and that's actually what they took to Motown, and then Barry Gordy had it rewritten for them, and that's how the whole hit came about. But, you know, also back in that time, to have such a young group of girls coming together as a group and having one of the members write some of the lyrics for it, and then going on to becoming such a major hit was a great thing.
Definitely. Almost unheard of to be an unknown and then write your own music, and right away, the first thing you did was a hit.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to share Beechwood 45789. That almost sounds like a phone number. I assume it is in California.
Well, I don't know where it is, but you find so many of the gentlemen that come to the show, and they says, you know, I called that number. I said, I bet you did. So, yeah, it is definitely a phone number. I can't tell you where it will connect you to, but it's a phone number.
I'm sure they were hoping to find the Marvelettes behind it.
Oh, yeah.
But here we go with Beechwood. What is the name of the song? Beechwood 45789. All right, you can call me up. Any old time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. That kind of reminds me of the beach party bingo type music of the 1960s. And was it 50s and 60s? Well, you guys came along in the 60s, right?
Well, the 60s, yeah. We started right in the 1960.
Right, that was during the time of all the wonderful singers like Connie Francis and the Supremes and the Miracles, Smokey, and you can go on and on and on.
Right.
Now, tell me about fashion. Because usually ladies, when they go on stage, they have to dress the role. How do you go about, do you have a stylist, or how do you go about getting your stage clothes?
Well, we do have stylists, and we do a lot ourselves also. And we actually stick to the era. You know, like I said, we've totally embraced the era because I just feel like it's so important to make sure that we are keeping the integrity, as I said, and just thought to, you want people to relive the moment. And when you can get up there and you're done up that way, they are so in tune with us. It's like having that moment that they heard it for the first time. It's really great. We do the wigs, we have the jewelry and the gowns and all that, just as Motown put the girls together and taught them how to speak and walk and whole themselves, we do the same.
Well, is that the beehive era for hairdos?
Oh, yeah. Big hair. Big, fun hair.
Yeah, I could see definitely wearing the wigs because that would be kind of difficult to keep up all the time if you were doing your own hair.
Exactly. Well, we do wear our hair big, like the era, and we actually have fun. It's a lot of fun when you're getting all ready for it and stuff. It's like the transformation of, okay, I walk through the door like this, and when I hit the stage, it's all about that.
Wow. Now, do you do the dances as well?
Oh, yes, we have choreography. You know, back then there wasn't a lot of choreography that was done by the girl groups. But the Marvelettes did tend to have a little more than what the Supremes were doing. And we perform and we give some choreography and we have fun. We have a great show. We interact with the audience. When we finish our shows in the evening, we have everyone coming up to us and speaking about how well they love the show and how do you girls move like that, and I'm going to go home and practice in the mirror and I'm going to try to get those steps. So,
well, what are some of the dances? Are you doing the twist, or what are some of the dances of that era?
Well, yes, they did have the twist back then because I don't know if you're aware that the Marvelettes answered Please, Miss Postman with Twisting Postman, which was coming in towards the tail end of the twist. I mean, we can't actually do most of those dances from back then within our choreography being on stage, but we just make sure we have all that grace and elegance that a woman would exude, and that's what we portray on stage.
Is that what you like about the era? Because it was an era, as I said before, that was innocent, but it was also elegant.
Yes, it's elegant, it's classy, and, you know, it's like, exactly. And, I mean, people are in awe, you know. It's sometimes you can get on stage and perform, and I feel like nowadays, the way music is going, that what the females are doing at times tend to be offensive to the women,
mm-hmm.
You know, how they're portrayed as women. But when we get up there, we make sure that we are within our era because that's what we were about. And people so appreciate that. You know, it's so wonderfully done how we execute our show and keep it all together.
And I bet you it's interesting how the male fans treat you in a whole different way, like rap. The women are treated, they're not even treated like women. But do you find a difference in the way the male fans treat you just because of the way you present yourself?
Oh, absolutely. When we do Don't Mess with Bill, we have this whole skit that we do, and we find out Bill in the audience. And, you know, the men are kind of like resistant because they're afraid. But then after the show, then it's like, oh, I wish I had come up there, and I want to be Bill. And, you know, they'll say to us, you make me want to change my name to Bill. You know, it's just all in fun because they just love what they see. And as I say, you know, it's not offensive in any kind of way. It's just really wonderful. It's something that everyone can embrace. Everyone can embrace it.
Wow, that is so cool. And I want to tell your fans to catch the Marvelettes. And, I mentioned Dennis Edwards and the Temptation Review, too. They'll be opening for them at the Lehman Center for the Performing Arts, which is located at 250 Bedford Park Boulevard West, and that's in the Bronx. Now, you can take the 4 train there at Bedford Park Boulevard stop and the D train at the same stop. And if you're driving, parking is free. And best of all and most of all, you want to call for tickets. And so that number is 718-960-8833. Or you can even go online at www.lehman, and that's spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, center, C-E-N-T-E-R.org. And I'll repeat that again. It's www.lehmancenter.org. And the box office number is 718-960-8833. And the concert is Saturday, April 9th. So what are you ladies going to do up until that date? Where will you be?
Well, as I said, we're in Las Vegas. We're doing some other things in Iowa.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to Minneapolis. So we're out there, like I said, every night in Vegas, and also on the road you can catch us in some of your hometowns and other places. So it's a great thing.
It is. And, you know, our audience is worldwide, so that's why I mention it, because people from all the states in America and throughout the world can hear the show, and therefore, if you're playing at a particular place, you can mention that so they can go catch you there.
Right. I don't have the exact names of our locations, but like I said, we'll be in Bettendorf, Iowa, and we'll also be in Minneapolis. I don't have the town, but we're out there, so if you just kind of like Google our name, you can find where we're also going to be performing. And if you come to Las Vegas, by all means, come to the Rio, and we perform nightly there at the Crown Theater.
Is that a fun place? I've never been to Vegas. Isn't that a shame?
No, it's not a shame. It's okay. There's a lot of people that have never gotten to Vegas. But if you get a chance to come, I would say to you, don't miss our show at the Rio. And also on that same billing, you will be able to see the platters and the coasters. So it's a great show. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We have some people come to our show, and they actually tell us how much they enjoy our show. And they've gone to see some of the other Cirque shows, but they just love our show. And then we have people that keep coming back to our show for over 7 years.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow,
really,
that's
amazing.
Great. So do you have a fan? You have a, it sounds like you have a fan base that is almost like a built-in fan base. If you can, and I guess, as you say, they bring their children, so you constantly build new fans.
Oh, absolutely. It's just ongoing. And then when someone will come to our show, they'll say, oh, we have some friends that are coming, and we're going to tell them they have to see your show. It's just, it's wonderful. You know, it's like contagious. When you see it, you catch that fever of the time and the fun, and it's like you want to pass it on, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're passing it on.
Now, I also do a show in Europe, and I'll be sending this show there. So I want you to give a shout-out to your European audience, and are you planning to tour there anytime soon?
No, we don't have anything on our calendar, but we would love to get there. We miss being there. And we just want to thank them also for the support that they've given us throughout the years. So we thank you, and we hope to see you soon.
Well, you did mention before that you went to Europe. Where in Europe did you perform?
We went in Austria. We went to Austria.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, that was really, really beautiful. It was beautiful there. So, I mean, and we've gone to Monte Carlo.
What do you find? Do you find the European audience different from Americans?
I do find them to be different. I mean, everyone appreciates the music, and that's just overall. But it's just how they, I don't know, it's something about how they receive it. It's very different from the U.S. Extremely different. I just think it's a cultural thing as to how they embrace the arts as opposed to how we embrace it.
Can you expand on that? Now, somebody told
me,
for example, they know all the words to the songs, where you might not find that in America.
Well, you see, that's just it. I feel, and I've seen, you know, with my own eyes, that with our particular music, they do know it. It's amazing. We go over there in Europe, they know this music just as well as, you know, they know it here in the States. And also with Please Mr. Postman, I don't know if a lot of viewers know, but the Beatles also did a remake of Please Mr. Postman.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, for us.
Interesting.
And again, like I say, Motown just was this universal music that everyone just loved. Loved. And I can't say that I've gone anywhere where they really haven't understood us. They may not even speak the English language, but they know exactly what we're saying, and they're singing along with what we're singing. It's amazing.
Well, they probably know all the words. They read up before, when they knew you were coming, learned all the words, even though it's in their own language.
Right.
Well, I want to also ask you about, I asked you already about your family, but are any of your children musically inclined or thinking about going into show business, or do you even want them to?
Well, I don't have any children. But I do have nieces and nephews. And I would say that just about everyone in my family, they do sing. I'm really the only one that pursued it professionally. And it started with my mother. My mother wanted to be an opera singer. And as she will tell us, story goes, she had us instead. And my father had an amazing baritone voice. And it's kind of like trickled down. And we're all singing. Most of us sing in church. So pretty much that's where we all got started, in church.
Well, do you find that most of the black talent starts off in church? Almost everybody I've ever interviewed, except Smokey, told me he started off on the street corners.
Right. Well, you know what? A lot of them did start in church. And even if we weren't having church in church, it's just that strong family gospel background that I feel that we all embraced. Our families embraced it in such a way that it's instilled in us, and it's such a richness in the music that it's hard to kind of like turn the other way and not hear it. You hear it, and it just created a desire. I wanted nothing more than to be able to sing in the choir. I begged my mother, am I old enough to sing in the choir yet? I had to wait 2 years when I first started asking. But for me, I didn't even, at first I didn't think I wanted to sing. I was more into being a dancer. I thought I was going to be a dance teacher. But I found myself in the mirror singing all the time and not realizing that I was actually nurturing something that was going to come for me later on in my life.
And isn't it odd how things work out? Who would have ever thought, and obviously from what you're telling me, you would have never thought that you would audition for Berry Gordy.
Well,
or at least for the Motown, I mean.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know. I would have never thought that, you know. But it was just one of those things where it was the right time and it was meant for me. So I was able to embrace it.
Well, I'm going to play another one of the Marvelettes songs, and it's Young and in Love.
One of my favorites.
Here we go.
Thank you.
close our show with Young in Love, and then we just give tribute to the Supremes. We have a whole banter where we say, and as our sisters at Motown once said, and we go into Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Oh, okay. Have you ever met Diana Ross?
Yes, I have. Wow. That was just like, wow. What a wow moment for me in my life. And she is so amazing, so, so amazing. She loves her fans. I mean, all the other things that people say about her and stuff, I'm like, don't even go there with me, because the woman that I met, she is just amazing.
Well, also, you're part of the industry, so she probably feels simpatico. Because if anyone understands what it's like to entertain.
Right, but I've seen her interact with her fans, and she's just a warm, genuine woman. I mean, I've actually been to her house, and I've met her through the youngest boys. So, I mean, you know, Diana Ross, she's a sweetheart. And, you know, I can only say thank you for what she brought to the table for us in this musical history that we all embrace.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Diana Ross is a genius. So the Supremes are.
Yes.
And all, I don't want to just leave the rest out, because all of them contributed to a history of wonderful music.
Right. And we can all say thanks to Barry Gordy. He was truly the genius behind it all.
Well, what do you think of Miss Holloway? Is it Holloway? Alita Holloway has left us recently.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Are you speaking of one of the Marvelette members?
No. She's another singer, Alita Holloway. I think she either passed yesterday or but she's certainly one of the contributors to great music as well.
Right.
But anyway, I want to again mention your show, because we want to make sure that the ladies and gents get down to Lehman Center for the Performing Arts to see you on Saturday, April 9th. And that's an 8 p.m. show, folks, so be on time. And you can take the 4 train or the D train down there. And if you're driving, parking is free. But to get tickets, you can call 718-960-8833. Or go online at www.lehmancenter.org. And, well, two of the Marvelettes are New Yorkers.
Yes, we are.
And you want to be able to support your fellow New Yorkers when you go. Is this the first time that you yourself have performed in the Bronx or at Lehman Center?
We were there years ago, actually with Otis.
Get out. You mean Otis Williams?
Otis Williams, yes.
Now, he's somebody I interviewed a long while ago, and that is the original Temptation.
Yes, he is.
In terms of the Marvelettes, the original gals are not there, but you're carrying on the torch.
Yes, we are.
Well, it's been a great pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to seeing you at Lehman Center.
Absolutely. We can't wait to get there, and it's going to be a great show, and we look forward to everyone coming out and having just a wonderful evening with us.
Well, I'm sure that not only are there going to be Marvelette fans, but they're going to be Temptation fans. In this case, it's Dennis Edwards and the Temptation Review.
Right.
And everybody, please go down there and support the show. We love the Temps, and we love the Marvelettes, and we love the music of that era. So our hour has started to wind down, Paula, so I want to thank you for being a delightful guest and informing my listeners about your upcoming show at Lehman Center. And, of course, we want to catch both you and Dennis on April 9th. And to my faithful audience, I want to thank you for listening in again, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And, well, until next time, remember to support all the wonderful shows that are at BlakeRadio.com, Rainbow Soul. And you can also hear us on iTunes and even download us on with Stitcher on your iPhones and Androids and so forth and Blackberries. And, again, I'm Deirdre Schuler, and I'm always delighted by your support. So, once again, I thank you for making my topic topically yours. And we're going to say goodbye to Paula, and thank you so much for gracing our show today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I look forward to seeing everyone.
All right, folks, and we've been talking to Paula Anderson. And thank you for making my topic topically yours. And, well, we're going to end with the Marvelettes and Don't Mess with Bill.